Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Hey people, this is not Professor Jim Fetzer. This is colleague and friend Carl Herman. I do work with Jim on Need to Know News, and I will be here today because, or at least for the first hour, Jim is enjoying this holiday, this Easter weekend with family. And I'm going to take this time to brief you with what I have discovered with 46 years working in the Great Awakening. I do have a background. I'm just going to give my website and carlbherman.blogspot.com. Go to any of the news shows after the paragraph of the whatever the news is of the day from Jim. Just start reading. And all of the documentation that I'm going to discuss with you to give you a briefing of the condition of the world will be there. I am a professional scholar. I just retired after 38 years as a public school teacher. By the way, there's going to be a bit of an echo in this room as I'm just moving from Northern California to Southern California in stages. And this room is still very empty. So I do want to give you a perspective. And this is Revolution Radio. And the perspective I'm going to give you is that we are in a revolution. This is AMREV 2.0. This is World War III. And I'm going to walk you through why I would suggest that that is an appropriate way for you, the listener, who, first, let me acknowledge you for listening. Let me acknowledge you for thanking and thank you for being here. Only the people of intellectual integrity and moral courage have been willing to go into the areas that, let's just jump in. So this is an Orwellian world, and it's upside down. Backwards, inverted. We could say all the way and make the case, and again, don't believe anything I say, go ahead and take a look for yourself. The documentation to support the conclusions I offer are all on Carl B. Herman Blogspot on the news show. Now, I would say that the type of revolution that we're in is a good versus evil. That might sound simplistic, but it's deceptively simple. The good is going to be people who are connected to each other, to life. They have an appreciation for truth and empathy. And we tend to view solutions as creating the best environment for everyone, an environment of cooperation and of competition, of cooperative competition. The bad, evil, we could define that as a service to self. They're going to be selfish. They're never going to have enough. And the experience that I suggest that you already have is that these people can't fill the void that they existed, being disconnected. And they think that getting more things or domination is somehow going to help. It doesn't, because they're not satisfied with their life. They don't share anything. They have an inverted pyramid structure, and it's just dog eat dog for those people. Now, for the background, I did work as a professional historian teaching in public school. And one of the resources that I have to offer to you in this hour chat that we're going to have on the state of the world is that the U.S. promotes itself as a limited government under a constitution, and then that's all supposed to be under inalienable rights, divine rights that you have just by being human. And that, of course, is not what the United States is. It has gone way past constitutional limits. And the best description that I can give to the form of government of the United States is a rogue state empire. And I do have an 11-part series called U.S. Illegal. I'll just go ahead and pop that up on the screen as well here. We'll start there. It has to pull it up from the web archive. And the title is U.S. Illegal, History of Rogue State Empire Requiring Arrest in the Present. Introduction to define rogue state as a perfect match with U.S. illegal wars of aggression, crimes against humanity, dictatorial government. Is an 11-part series where I take a look at the lies that are presented in the U.S. history textbook. And I want to be absolutely clear, as a professional scholar, I put my reputation on the line with the documentation that I offer to you, that the textbooks that our children read are lies. And it's easy to prove, and it's not even controversial. Our opponents don't debate with us. So you can't get them to admit that how they phrase things. I'll just give you some examples. So I do have 11 sections in this series to demonstrate that the U.S. is a rogue state empire. The point being is that if the history is definitive of lies and crimes, what we call wars of aggression in the present, but what we can definitely demonstrate as treaty-violating wars, and then the U.S. steals the resources, if that is the history, then we are taught, as a social studies teacher, more accurately, and also a government teacher, I would suggest that you take the advice of a court seriously, that once somebody's testimony has been demonstrated as false and knowingly so, then you need to withdraw your trust of that testimony and hold it as unreliable testimony. So that means that anything that our government says is unreliable. I would also say that corporate media is the propaganda arm of the empire. But I'm going a lot of directions at once, but let me give you the biggest picture I can. And all the documentation's here, so I skip stuff. And, wait, you didn't go over that. It's all here. So historically, an empire has to control three major areas in order to be effective as an empire. You have to control the government, and the government is the policy so that you can do what you want. You have to control what is used for money, because you want to enrich yourselves. And you have a lot of minions to pay. So you control the government policy, you control what is used for money, and you have to control the media to tell the people that it's all good. And our opponents, the parasites, the psychopaths, they do control all of that. And you are here at Revolution Radio because you for yourself have at least felt enough, you have an intuitive feeling that, whoa, we're not being told the truth here. And then you just like what, you just feel better listening to Revolution Radio for facts. That's at the minimum. But I would bet that most of you have done what we want to have happen with the sheeple, is that they have to snap away. They have to open up their own eyes, get eyes on. They have to look at their hands and look at what they can grasp with their hands and see for themselves, and then have the intellectual integrity and moral courage to speak the truth. And the truth is that apparently every agency of importance is captured by our opponents. Just with some of them that I'll name, is that they have the government. And that is the three branches of government. The legislative branch, with what it is that we have for so-called law. And we can prove that by, look at the laws they pass. The biggest one with being an empire is to approve these wars of aggression, is the technical term for it. And this is going on for, a couple hundred years. And they violate a treaty and they conduct a war, and then they commit war crimes within that illegal war. And that's just how the U.S. rolls. Historically, I'll just go over some of the sections of U.S. illegal. The U.S. violated treaties with Native Americans approximately 600 times. And Article 6 of the Constitution says a treaty is U.S. supreme law. That is, if the president signs on and two-thirds of the Senate ratify, that's what we're going to do. If you violate treaties 600 times, that means that you're just virtue signaling about the limits of the government. And again, that means that we're not limited government under the Constitution. We just virtue signal about that now and violate it at will. Stealing almost half of Mexico in 1848, or the war concluded in 1848. And that's a fun story to tell. I might give a little bit of it now. I just need to entertain myself is most important person to entertain. I learned from one of my mentors, Buckminster Fuller. He said it in a public talk that he was the most important person to keep entertained. So the U.S. did steal half of Mexico. And if you take a look at the history books or encyclopedia entries, I mean, it's shifted and spun all the time. But this is a good case study to demonstrate that, oh, yeah, they're lying. The books say that there was a border disagreement with Mexico. And you may remember from your high school history, and even going back to middle school history in discussing the growth of the United States, that there was some confusion, you may recall, over the southern border of where Texas and Mexico are. And as a history teacher, it's so hard to decide when to stop going back into history, but I'm going to make this a very brief story. So where a border is one of the most important things to get clear between countries, and it was absolutely crystal clear in the Adams-Onis Treaty, O-N-I-S, and that cleared up the border in 1821 when Spain still held that territory, and then the treaty was formally transferred to Mexico when they won their independence. An independence that wasn't for the good of the people, an independence so that parasites in Mexico could control the government from there and not have to be second-level parasites from the parasites in Spain. So the Adams-Onis Treaty placed the border at the Sabine River, which is at the border between modern-day Texas and Louisiana, and goes along that border of Texas, makes some turns. All this is documented. You can take a look at pictures if you want. But a treaty, if you're going to have to be absolutely clear, then you have positive and negative language. Positive language is that borderline, the Sabine River, between Mexico and the U.S. by the treaty terms, to the north and to the east, is forever the United States. And you can read the treaty, it's just one page. And for the native language, never Mexico. And the land that is to the south and to the west of that river and borderline shall always be Mexico and never the United States. That's about as clear as you can get. That is the treaty, Article 6 of the Constitution. That's what we're doing. And when the Texans revolted, which is a long story about which I don't know much, but when Texas took over and became an independent country, that didn't violate the treaty. But when the United States annexed Texas, that violated the treaty. And then you have the United States president who placed U.S. military troops, according to the terms of the treaty, 400 miles within Mexico, according to the treaty, and then engaged in patrols until they were attacked. And then President Polk had the speech written with the great spinning line of American blood was shed on American soil. There was congressional opposition led by Abraham Lincoln, and he attempted to get a resolution passed in the House as a freshman member of called the Spot Resolution. And Abe wanted President Polk to come to Congress and point on the map where American blood was shed on American soil, and then that demonstration would prove that the spot that Polk was talking about, American blood shed on American soil, according to the act of treaty, that was 400 miles within Mexico. And similar stories, is the U.S. violated our treaty with Hawaii in order to steal it? That we reneged on promises of freedom after the Spanish-American War to the Philippines and to Cuba? And we entered World War I with no national security threat to the U.S. We imprisoned the third-party presidential candidate for challenging the quote-unquote official reasons for war. Now we're getting into World War I. We're getting into a time period, into the century where almost all of the listeners here have been born. And we can really tie this into the present with these so-called world wars. Both of my grandfathers were lied in to the American Expeditionary Force. My mother's father was a pneumatic engineer for the trains. He was stationed in Paris, and he had good stories about French food and French women, and he had, he said he did not know what happened at the front because he wasn't there, but he heard the stories. My dad's dad, however, according to my dad, he experienced those trench stories in World War I, and he refused to tell any war stories. My dad said if the topic would come up of what he experienced in the war, is that he would just go serious and simply say, I do not tell war stories. And that would be the end of it, and people would know from his tone and demeanor that he wasn't going to ask. For World War II, there's been a lot of interesting documentation with World War II. I have not tackled that. It's too big. I like the idea of giving enough cases where I can be absolutely confident with what I have to say, such as the U.S. overthrowing Iran in 1953 with CIA Operation Ajax. And the reason that that happened, apparently, is that the Iranians wanted to get more than what they were contracted in oil profits of only 15%. Now, think about that. Iran has the oil. They're getting just 15%. They wanted to renegotiate, and they said, look, if you really feel that we should only get 15% of our oil, our other solution is to nationalize the oil. And it did when the U.S. and the U.K. refused. And then that started a process where the CIA got involved with Operation Ajax to overthrow that democracy, install the Shah, train the secret police. And then when the Shah had cancer and the U.S. refused to extradite the Shah for, you know, running a vicious dictatorship in Iran, the U.S. aided our other puppet, Saddam, in Iraq to invade and attack Iran. And that war from 1980 to 1988 killed about a million Iranians. So the U.S. and the U.S. argues up to this day for the need for regime change in Iran. And we have an official policy of a first strike nuclear attack if, and the language of the U.S. first strike nuclear attack is if somebody threatens our allies. So the rhetoric of Iran, President Ahmadinejad in 2005, I believe, was the speech where you hear again and again that Iran threatened to wipe Israel off the map. That's a lie. The speech said, from the Iran president, said to the, you know, the people, it says, look, if Israel doesn't change direction, they're going to end up like Iran did with our people overthrowing our own government, getting rid of the Shah. It's going to end up like Saddam's government of blowing up. It's going to end up like the Soviet Union breaking up. And that's what's going to happen to Israel. Oops. I need to stop that. There we go. Thank you. Sorry about that. So that's what the U.S. is a rogue state empire. The Vietnam War, that was a lie-started illegal war. That was a – the U.S. refused. They – so in – the UN stepped in and said that there should be an election in Vietnam to unify the country. And when it became clear after the French had left as the colonial master to Vietnam, and then going back after World War I, where Ho Chi Minh went to the governments after World War I and said, hey, you know, this was all about a war to end all wars and a war to make the world safe for democracy. That's what he said, right? So the French are going to leave Vietnam and give us our own country because to make the world safe for democracy. And they just laughed and said, man, no, you're still owned by us. And that started for the Vietnamese, of course, a war for independence and a long war. World War II, same deal. Ho Chi Minh still went back and said, so are you going to give us our country back? And the leaders, no, you belong to France. And the purpose of colonialism, of course, is in order to control the resources, both the natural resources and then the human resources in order to maximize the profit of those natural resources. Now, when the Vietnamese, with assistance from the Chinese and the Russians, finally kicked out the French. The French people were no longer willing to support that war, similar to when the U.S. would leave later, because the American people were no longer willing to support that war. But the U.N. did propose an election after 2 years, whether the country would basically be a U.S.-friendly government or whether the country would elect Ho Chi Minh for what they had promised would be more of a socialist government, but importantly, under a democracy. Now, we're getting into a time period where, you know, we know people, and people are alive who were in Vietnam. And we were told that this was a war against communism, against the incursion of communism. Well, this is a democracy. They had an election. I mean, so you're going to complain about that they shouldn't share resources. They shouldn't have universal health care. See, it's a ridiculous lie that that was communism. And then there was a false flag event in order to start that war in Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin incident that we can now demonstrate never happened. To be a rogue state empire, I think that the worst event is the assassination of Dr. King. And that was a King family civil trial in 1999 when the family finally had enough evidence. And Martin's friend and attorney, William Pepper, had the King family civil trial, which found the U.S. government and other government agencies in Memphis guilty for the assassination. And the purpose of the assassination, and all the details are there. I don't want to tell that story again, but you know, you can see it for yourself and see the evidence. But they needed to stop because Martin, Memphis was the last stop before he was going to march a la Gandhi to Washington, D.C. and occupy Washington, D.C. until the Vietnam War was ended and those resources would be shifted to end poverty in the United States. And ending poverty, by the way, I do have background of two UN summits for heads of state to end poverty, the 1990 World Summit for Children, the largest meeting of heads of state in world history, and the 1997 Microcredit Summit, microcredit, small loans, the poorest of the poor, that ends poverty while making a profit. And of course, the so-called former colonial leaders and developed countries reneged on all promises, public and private, to end poverty, even though those solutions are technical, they're just engineering, and you just get people clean water. And the biggest deal of how come our masters don't want to do that, in my estimation, is they use the land. They want those resources. So they're not good at sharing. They just want it all for themselves, and they never have enough. So when Dr. King was going to get the public in order to see the facts of the Vietnam War, that this was a rejection of democracy and a total, total lie, they had to offer them. Poor history after.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. it's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we're back. So, Jim Fetzer is with his family. Carl Herman, carlbherman.blogspot.com. Go to any of the new shows and the documentation and just start reading. So I'm giving you a background that the U.S. is not limited government under our Constitution, respecting inalienable rights, but best described as a lying, looting, illegal, rogue state empire. And because of that history, nobody should give them any credence, any reliability, they're liars. And we can count that since World War II, the U.S. has invaded with our military through armed military attacks on other countries more than 200 times. That's over 80% of the total since World War II. The United Nations, which has treaty status with the U.S., just go to the State Department. They have an annual publication called Treaties in Force, and that you can see that the UN Charter is one of them. It's a charter, not a treaty, but that means it's just kind of like Major League Baseball, where the members, they have their own government, where they elect a governance board, and then they play by the rules. But it is a treaty, and that is under Article 6, U.S. Supreme Law, and there's only one area of power, governmental power, that the UN has, and that is to stop illegal wars of aggression. But because the UN, like every other agency, is captured, it does the Orwellian opposite. It facilitates it. And so they're always going to virtue signal for, oh, we love peace, but they're never going to speak out against the warmongers. And you may think to yourself, well, what about the victims? How come they they don't speak up, these former colonial nations, I mean, couldn't they just gang? Yeah, they could. They could. They could speak up. The 1990 World Summit for Children, I really saw that as an opportunity. Well, so the leaders all promised to end poverty, dedicating 0.7% of their gross income, 0.7%. And that would be a total dollar amount of about $100 billion a year in over 10 years, $1 trillion total price tag. And that would end poverty forever. And that would provide the assistance to these areas that pretty much have been taken over by the corporations. And they're still under neo-colonial control. But again, that's just solutions of clean water, giving them access to the land to grow their own food and be self-sufficient. But our masters don't want that. So speaking out against that, the other leaders, well, they're leaders, right? And sometimes they are. If you were to go to the essay called My Best Shot, we'll talk about COVID for a little bit. And the full title of this is Essay to About 100 Teacher Colleagues for Red Pill Scholarship to Explain, Document, Prove Evil Totalitarian Global Scandemic. One of the facts that I put in there is that there were four African heads of state that went against the COVID narrative. Four of them. One of them had a PhD in chemistry. And you may remember that this was the guy who took the so-called COVID test and applied it to papaya, motor oil, goat, mango, and they all came back testing positive for COVID. Well, that guy and the other heads of state all died relatively quickly thereafter. And, you know, nobody else died who was a head of state, just the ones who spoke out against it. So if you're wondering how come they don't speak up, well, that might be your answer right there. And then there's economic hitman John Perkins, the best-selling author, and he does a great job of explaining that as a college student, he was recruited by CIA to work under another company as an economist, but his real job was to work with heads of state in Central and South America to just make sure that they understood that they worked for the U.S. and that their job was to follow the orders for the economic development of their resources. And if a head of state decided that they wanted to redirect the resources for the good of their own people, then John would have to explain to the head of state, you know, if you do that, then I'm going to have to call in the jackals. And the jackals were the team that would assassinate either the character or physically assassinate the president. And physical assassinations happened twice to heads of state. One of the ways of doing it is putting an altimeter bomb on their plane and blow it up in the air. So, of course, if you're going to run an effective empire, one of the things you're going to have to deal with is, what if the sheeple refuse to obey? What if the people want to have their independence? And then how you do that is you kill them, you destroy the opposition, and then you virtue signal all the time, like, let's have a holiday for MLK and pretend that we care about them and give some speeches, and that's how they do it. All the lies go into public education textbooks. And again, I'm just referencing the news show, carlbherman.blogspot.com. And I'm not promoting this. I don't make any money off of this. This has been a hobby that has cost me money. And I have gotten over 50 million total page views from the data that I can figure from the work that I've done. And the colleagues that I work with, I mean, Jim Fetzer invited me to be on the show. So he's checked out what I've said and claimed as objective, independently verifiable facts. And audience members, it's not just me. I want to give you tools to be absolutely confident in your stuff. And once you've demonstrated to yourself that the information that you're providing is comprehensively accurate, independently verifiable, and objective, you're just trying to state the truth. And as a scholar, that's all that we are, is we're students. And when we see stuff that doesn't add up, we have questions. And eventually, if we're persistent, we're able to figure out, according to the information, this is what I'm looking at. So if somebody says, oh, Herman, the U.S. isn't a rogue state empire. COVID isn't a scandemic. Then, all right, well, here's what I have. If you really want to say that and you really want to engage, then this is how it works in professional scholarship. I'm making factual claims. Here's my documentation. If you think I got it wrong, have at it. I'll talk to you about it. But of course, nobody does talk to us. I was almost going to whisper like the actor playing Biden. And it is an actor, by the way, playing Biden. You can tell that definitively by the pictures of the old Biden. He had a flappy earlobe, and the new Biden has attached earlobes. That doesn't happen. The new Biden grew a bunch of arm hair and got rid of a tattoo when he was a picture of him taking a shot. The new Biden, his forehead is a lot more narrow than the old Biden. But, you know, you can do a lot with masks and voice technology and good acting. So the idea that COVID, we might experience another attempt at health orders, so-called health, so-called orders. But, you know, I did in this essay, My Best Shot, if you want to be able to take a look at sufficient documentation that this is crimes against humanity, we can. And I think I should say something about that. I should say something about the economy. Yeah, let's do that. I have limited interest in going over this COVID stuff again. But let me pull up this, because I think this for sure is going to happen. So I have an article from March 12th of this year, and it's a financial monetary derivative house of cards collapse. Remember, superior mechanics already proven by Ben Franklin with monetary reform and public banking backed by Thomas Edison, 86% of economics professors. I do have one published academic paper by the Claremont Colleges. Professor John Cobb, professor emeritus, he is into monetary reform. And he appreciated the clarity of what I write so much so he invited me to present at two international economics conferences at the Claremont Colleges and publish my papers therein. And I think the contribution that I have as a retired high school teacher is that my voice, my professional voice, is more easy to understand than the PhDs who write in it. And the PhDs who write, if you take on the empire, you don't get your stuff published. You have a few rogue professors who know the truth. But anyway, that's just background. The documentation will speak for themselves. So let me talk to you about these derivatives market. My friend and colleague, Ellen Brown, who is really the strongest voice for public banking, she wrote an article, The Looming Quadrillion Dollar Derivatives Tsunami, and I felt motivated that I should say something about this too. And Ellen has pointed out, so the value of the derivatives. So derivatives is just a bet on future prices. It's gambling. And we're in this, the financial markets is a rigged casino run by the banksters, the parasites, and they gamble. The total value of the derivatives market, you have to estimate it because, you know, they have all kinds of ways that they gamble that they don't tell us. But about $250 billion, and how you count with numbers that are super big, and all of us are having opportunities to get better and better at these super big numbers because what we have is an exponential growth curve of debt, which is the mathematical model of the system that we have. It's the opposite of what we're told, a monetary system. But anyway, you get million, that's a thousand thousands, a billion, then you got to add three zeros, a trillion, and then quadrillion. Quadrillion is going to be a thousand trillions. So there are the gambles, the chips on the table, we got a thousand trillions of bets. All right, a thousand trillion, got it. How much are the assets worth that support those derivatives? Oh, about 56 trillion. So that's about 20 times. They're gambling with 20 times what they have in assets. So if there's a run on those hard assets, then the whole system fails. And Ellen was motivated to write about this. I mean, all of us have seen it coming, but with the bailout of the Silicon Valley Bank, that means that the banking system has come out and officially said, oh, yeah, we own the Fed. That's basically what that means. So if there is a collapse on paper, and that'll be for retirement funds, everything, it might be a scary collapse. It's only on paper. All of this is on paper, and perhaps, you know, more accurately, to the day, more with computer digits. None of it is real. What's real is the labor, and that's the intellectual labor as well, and the resources. That's it. That's what's real. We're limited in our economic productivity by our imagination, our labor, and the physical resources. So we could have this Star Trek future, for sure, or at least good faith effort. And if you want to see what's possible for the Star Trek future, I recommend the Venus Project, Jacques Fresco, a near contemporary of Bucky Fuller. He answered the question of, hey, if we put our best existing technology to build a city from start, what would we do? And it's just breathtaking. It's cheaper to give you a house, a nice house, than it is under our current system to have you go buy one on the market if you have to take out a so-called home loan, because the loan is going to cost you more total over the 30-year life of the mortgage than the value of the house. That's the crazy system that we're in. And one of the things that Professor John Cobb liked about my looking at this stuff and trying to explain to people why this is important is that if we had I live in California. If we took, and whatever state that you have, it's the same thing. So if we made credit, which is the technical name of making loans, it's credit, it's the legal capacity to create what we use for money and put it into a person's account. If we made that a public service instead of private, you know, these too big to fail banks. Oh, by the way, the too big to fail banks, they own well over 80% of that quadrillion dollar derivatives market, of course, because they're just insane gamblers. They're addicted to that play. But anyway, if we had a state bank and made that public service, a 5% home mortgage and a 5% credit card, that existing revenue stream would abundantly pay for all of the taxes in California without any need for any other type of tax. And if the people knew that and had the opportunity and the experts were somehow, you know, forced to talk about it, or people like us could present the data, then the people would say, you know, we should check that out. We should go into that path. Obviously, it's a no-brainer. And the Public Banking Institute that Ellen Brown created, along with other good people, including me, provides that data. And over half the states now have passed legislation for public banking. We have one public bank so far, the Bank of North Dakota, and that was from the beginning of the 1900s. And they're the only state out of 50 that have increasing budget surpluses. The only one. So you think that this would be a no-brainer because you can create credit in-house and at cost. See, because if you're the bank, and this goes back to the title that I hinted at, see, Ben Franklin wrote a pamphlet almost 300 years ago now. He was so excited. Colonial Pennsylvania didn't need to tax the people because if you're the bank, you create these 5% loans, you create the what is used for money as the paper, you lend it out mostly to the farmers, some small industrialists, and then you create that 5% interest payment to yourself as the government to directly invest in infrastructure. They didn't need to have any taxes. And to find the name of this, Irving Fisher was the name of the economist. In the Great Depression in the early years, Irving Fisher, who I believe was, I'd have to find it, not at Harvard, at Yale economist, and he's considered one of the top economists. He polled the economics professors in the United States at that time and said, hey, public banking and monetary reform, that would be better mechanics than what we're doing with the mechanics of creating an exponential debt curve, right? 86% of the economics professors agreed with him because, you know, we're talking about a technical, mechanical, mathematical model here that is absolutely certain. I mean, just look for yourself. Look at the total growth of debt. That's because of the mechanics. Shadow stats, by the way, is economist John Williams' contribution to be able to take a look and you know, inflation is more than what the official numbers are. And John Williams is able to prove that at Shadow Stats because they've changed the definition a couple of times to make it appear that it's less than it really is. And to finish this story, as we're almost out of time here, but we're talking about this money. I mean, literally, I can say there's nothing more valuable for you to pay attention to than this question. Literally, nothing more valuable for you to learn than monetary reform and public banking. The monetary reform just means is that the federal government, or whichever government has the authority, only the federal government does at this point, can create what we use for money as a direct insertion into the purchase of infrastructure. Now, in economics, there have been a lot of cost-benefit analyses over investment with infrastructure, and pretty much it's exactly as you think. I mean, you make investments because you're more productive. It makes everything better. And so if you invest in infrastructure, both hard infrastructure, you know, the physical things like buildings and freeways and hospitals, but the soft infrastructure, which is the labor to make all that work, then you typically get a greater return in your economy than the cost of the investment. That's why you would make the investment. So monetary reform has three game-changing benefits. You get the upgraded infrastructure. You can have up to full employment. And you get falling overall prices because the investment makes your economy work better. And that would seem to be a no-brainer that we would do it. It also, in the mechanics of what we have, the debt is because we're only creating what is used for money as a negative number. That's like adding negative numbers forever, and those mechanics are certain. We teach all this. I'm also a retired AP macroeconomics teacher. I've challenged 2,000 AP macroeconomics teachers on our discussion board to back me down. None of them can. And I've been challenging them since 2009. The guy, the economist, college level economist, he's gotten so tired of this. It may be cognitive dissonance. He may be receiving orders from the college board, but we no longer can talk about current events on the AP macroeconomics discussion board. I mean, this is 2,000 teachers to our sharpest high school students, and we don't talk about current events. We only are allowed to discuss what is on the test. And of course, those AP tests are the narratives of our masters, and that's what they want us to understand. And it's especially important to capture our brightest high school students to brainwash them with their propaganda. But anyway, none of the 2,000 teachers have ever been able to walk me down. I did get kicked off of the AP U.S. government discussion board by raising the question of that the wars on formerly known as on terror were illegal. And I gave my documentation. I was kicked out and informed Mr. Herman. AP U.S. government, it is not appropriate in this college level U.S. government class to discuss if a war is or is not legal. That they wouldn't explain that. I had questions about that. That would be really important because that's the biggest expenditure of dollar amount of our government could do. And the fundamental aspect of teaching our students government is what is limited government. So they just ignored me. Of course, they just ignored me. So we're coming up to the end of our time, and I hope that this was interesting for you. I hope that it was helpful. I hope that all that we seem to have is what we think and what we say and what we do, that you feel better about standing with the truth. I know it feels great for me standing with the truth. That's all that I have to control. The rest of life is just crazy. No control. And yet there seems to be, I mean, we all get an opportunity, this last minute, going to go spiritual here. We answer the question of what life is. What is the big picture? And our answer is a philosophical, religious, spiritual, whatever, something like that. You get to practice it. And you get to practice it under stress. And anything that is tested, you stress test it. And this seems to be a type of stress test that is happening on Earth. There seems to be three basic categories. The good, it's you, the listener. You can discern good from evil, and you've chosen the good. The evil, there might be a few evil people, and you've chosen to be a parasite. You're going to get what you work for. And then there's the sheeple. If they can't wake up, well, I think there'll be justice for them too. Blessing, brothers and sisters, patriots all. Thank you for our time together.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, I'm back. Carl Herman. I thought that Jim Fetzer, by the way, is with family this weekend, so I'm honored to be of assistance to my good friend and colleague, Professor Jim Fetzer, who I want to acknowledge in my Hall of Fame of human beings for his great decades of contribution of most important topics for people to know. Now, but I thought that Jim had another person. Now, I'm totally fine with that because at the end of the hour, I was kind of like, I could probably help people a lot more because that's what I'm trying to do. Everything that I say, the factual documentation, carlbherman.blogspot.com, go to any of the news shows and just start reading. I'm chatting with Mitch. I can open up the phone lines if you like. Yeah, so if you have questions or want me to address any particular topic or you want to get in and chat, 540-352-4452 is the number. That number again, 540-352-4452. And I can take requests for topics. After 46 years of working on The Great Awakening, I've seen much. Some of it is deep, some of it is surface, but or if you just want to chat, I have plenty to talk about, of course. So you're here. You can be confident that corporate media have lied to you. And I'll point to an article, corporate media proven liars complicit to kill millions, harm billions. I'm trying to go to this one research paper that I have that was published by the Claremont Colleges. I'm just clicking on my own links, but we have I put a bunch of different versions of this together. This is the one I want. Yes. So in 2015, the Claremont Colleges invited me to address about 2,000 people at an international economics conference, and I wrote a paper called Seizing an Alternative, Recognizing the Emperor's New Clothes as the Story of Today. And for that, I informed people that, look, if you're going to have an empire, you need to control the government, to control the policy, what is used for money to enrich yourselves and pay your minions, and corporate media to tell people it's all good. And the documentation that I put into this paper definitively demonstrates that corporate media is criminally complicit with lies known to be false as they are told. These cannot be justified as somehow a mistake or a political preference that inserted itself into the text of news. This is definitively not lies known to be false as they were told. And I'm trying to avoid giving examples for this, and I think I will. I've just told those stories so long, so many times, they're not that interesting to me, unless, you know, there was a demand for it here. I did write a 2005 40-page white paper that was leveraged by Congressman Dennis Kucinich for the attempted impeachment of Bush and Cheney that has 200-plus footnotes for it, and that goes through our own government agencies' most definitive, the highest levels to refute these reasons. For example, I'll give just one. So you were told that Saddam has weapons of mass destruction that he intends to use, and that this is an imminent threat. The chemical, biological weapons. No, I'm not going to tell the story. So it's all there. It's all there. It's all there. So corporate media does lie, and it's easy to point out. And then those lies end up in the public education text, and that's what we talked about in the first hour with U.S. Illegal, the 11-part documentary series for that. And we have a rogue state empire. It's not limited government. We talked about that. And if you're just tuning in, or if you just want to, everything that I say is in the carlbherman.blogspot.com with the news shows with Professor Fetzer right after Jim's paragraph explanation of the news of the day. All this documentation is here, and I would challenge anybody to come up with any other way of describing it other than we're in AMRAV 2.0 and World War III. I mean, this COVID scandemic, so many lies. And again, once you take a look at the facts for yourself, you got to come to the position that you have to rebel and you have to revolt. And by revolution, the definition that I like best for that is you're just turning away from it. I mean, what we're doing is we're upholding the Constitution and the rule of law. The COVID narratives and the so-called health, so-called orders, mandates, requirements, these are crimes against humanity. And U.S. federal law, I am motivated, I'll tell you at least one part here. U.S. federal law, Title 21. Okay, so federal law, okay? Article 6 of the Constitution says that supreme law relative to anything that the state would do for a so-called mandate, order, requirement, whatever. And Title 21 governs the CDC and the FDA, and it's supreme to it. I mean, that's the rules of government should be and are as clear as a rule in baseball or football or soccer or whatever your favorite sport is to watch. And so these violations, I mean, this would be similar to an umpire attempting to call a pitch that's 10 feet over everybody's head a strike. Nobody would accept it. Nobody. Parents would go crazy. I mean, maybe if there weren't any adults at the field and you had little kids, they would be mad. They wouldn't understand, but they wouldn't stop play. We should stop play and withdraw consent and demand the arrest of these psychopaths for their provable lies and crimes. Title 21, after the Nuremberg Code and the Nuremberg trials, states that any experimental medical product requires informed consent and the full freedom to refuse any experimental medical product. And that includes the shots. That's an experimental medical product under the emergency authorization. It's an experiment. The masks, social distancing, all those are experiments. So Title 21 means that you can refuse those without any consequence, but, you know, we're lied to. And unless you're okay with just being ordered to take a knee and to be shot upon command with whatever our masters say you need to be shot with, if that's what you're okay with, then you wouldn't be among our audience members. But if you're not okay with that, then I'm telling you, you're empowered to withdraw consent or at least to ask the questions. Okay, so as an education professional, the cleanest way, because, you know, I don't want to get myself into any professional trouble. I did over the course of my 38-year teaching career. The last 7 years I was with Hayward Unified School District in Northern California, Bay Area, and they came out with their so-called health, so-called orders in 2020. I had a few questions for them about how it was legal for them to make those orders, one of the questions being about federal Title 21, and I had 2 years of documentation with the official obfuscations, refusals to answer, and then outright lies. And that's all documented. If you want to hear any of those stories or see any of that stuff, that's all in the news shows for that. I don't think I want to say anything other than the conclusion based upon that documentation that anybody is welcome to stand upon with me to withdraw consent, and that you've seen enough and you can point to enough that your health, your body is your call, and they have no legal authority to order you to do anything with it, especially when the background of those so-called orderers have no legitimacy to order anyone given their criminal record. So that's that. So what's going on in the present now that we've had a big historical background for it? I'm at 90. So the good news, the great news, the probably beyond great news, if we finally get this breakthrough for the truth, which I'm at 95%, we will. So 95%, I'm that white hats, so-called white hats, are in charge. And that what we've been witnessing is a type of what Q calls the show. Now, remember, I'm a professional historian, and we take seriously these questions of who did what, when, and then what other objective facts can help every individual with the subjective question of why. A why question, well, I don't know. I'll give you a test. Do you like broccoli? Why? When I do that with students, I'd ask them a question. You can see their heads, their eyes turning up because they're trying to access in their brain some answer to why, but because they don't know. There's a narrative, there's a story, they have feelings. It's very complicated for why. So as a professional historian, the who did what, when, and where, that's solid. And then if you want to answer why, if that's of interest to you, for most of us it is, then you can come to your own subjective answer for that. But I'm at 95% certainty that white hats are in charge and that Q is basically true. And Q was able to point out the strongest evidence of the lies to take down the Trump presidency. And as a person who's been looking as a professional scholar for the hardest hitting information to demonstrate the criminality, Q was something that I looked at daily among my news sources. And then there is the coordination. So we know that Q is a psyop and was an insider to the White House in the Trump administration. We know that definitively because of the timing and the wording between Q drops and Trump tweets with the coordination of the language and the timing. So, all right, it's a psyop and a White House insider. And it's given some good information that were run by criminal psychopaths. Okay, well, so we still had to witness the factless Russiagate, the crimeless impeachment, and then the massive election fraud. And it was election fraud in 2020 and in 2022. I'll give you some proof for that, because I am still highly motivated to talk about that. I'll have to pull up another page and I'll kind of be talking as we do this. I'm just going to Carl B. Herman Blogspot and typing in election fraud odds. That's really odd odds. Okay. So I did write an article on November 27, 2020, that the election fraud odds, we can demonstrate that by a number with 50 to 60 zeros behind it, those are the odds that it was a fair election. And my most, all right, so historian's problem, how far back do I go? But I'm just going to go to here. So we had all these so-called swing states stop counting their votes. I'm also a credentialed math teacher. And the real contribution of math is just to be able to count what's important. And I'm drawn by that, you know, we really fool easily these human brains. We're not that smart, brothers and sisters, patriots, all. So we're fooled kind of easily. And I always like sharing the limitations of my own understanding is that those background states, these deciding states, swing states, I think there were seven of them that stopped counting the vote in the middle of the night. You know, you get up into a number seven, that's like a really big number, and so it's hard for me to remember. It's about seven, I don't know, seven states. And in one of the states, Pennsylvania, where they stopped counting at like 3 a.m. and had some BS excuse, like, somebody clogged up a urinal in the men's bathroom, so we're going to declare it a flood and kick everyone out of the building. I forget which state did that. It might have been Georgia. But after that stopping of the so-called counting, and then the resumption of the counting in Pennsylvania, they had a legislative hearing, and this article, I calculated the odds. So one of the legislators at the state level in Pennsylvania said, okay, so we're told that after the counting resumed, after this 3 a.m. stop, this one vote batch of president in 2020, 600,000 votes for Biden and 3,000 for Trump. That is a 200-to-1 ratio. So if we assume that this was a 50-50 split, and that's being generous to the actor playing basement Biden, and wow. So it's 200-to-1 odds. We can calculate that. So this should be like flipping a coin. And, you know, sure, you can have four heads in a row, but it becomes mathematically ridiculous at a 200-to-1 ratio. You get a number which is going to be approximately 50 or 60 zeros behind it. And then, you know, we need help with that. And then as a math teacher, the help that you need is that is a number that you're unfamiliar with and you don't know what it means anymore. It becomes like Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, a quadrillion, zillion, gadillion dollars. We don't know what it is. So I can help. So the odds that a person is left-handed is approximately 15%. So 1 out of 6, 1 out of 7. It's more likely for a random group of people of 78 people. So you could just walk up to find, just pick in crowds, 78 people, and they'd all be left-handed in a row. And you can verify this stuff like in a power number calculator. And if you go to this, just go to my website, carlbherman.blogspot.com, do search for election fraud odds, and you'll get this article. The odds of winning the Powerball jackpot is about 175 million to one. Okay. So it's more likely that you would win one of those before that 2020 count, 600,000 votes for Biden, 3,000 for Trump. But winning two consecutive Powerball jackpots, it is more likely that you'd win not two, but three consecutive Powerball jackpots. And you would almost be able to win four straight Powerball jackpots than the Biden vote spike being true. The Earth, we're told, is approximately 4.5 billion years old. And I don't believe any history that we're told. But let's run with this. The Earth is about 4.5 billion years old. All right. So that's too small of a number compared with the odds that this Biden vote count in Pennsylvania is true. So we need to get a bigger number from that 4.5 billion years old. That's 1.64 trillion days. Okay. So if I told you, hey, I want you to pick a random day out of that 4.5 billion years old and see if you can guess which day I'm thinking of that I wrote down here in that 4.5 billion years old. You're more likely to pick that day than it is for that 201 ratio of so-called votes being true. In fact, the number of seconds Earth has existed is 141.7 quadrillion. You're more likely to predict which random second of Earth's existence, let's say a computer selects it, than that vote being true. We can break it down to 1/2000th of a second that you'd be more likely to guess a random 2/1000th of a second from all of Earth's existence over 4.5 billion years than the Biden vote spike not being a hoax. So that's the numbers with that for election fraud odds. So I am at, however, that we are watching a show, and the necessity of the show would be to wake up the sheeple. 46 years involved in the Great Awakening, talking to people at first about ending poverty, and then after those two UN summits for heads of state where all of the heads of states reneged on their promises to end poverty, public and private, under the most BS excuses, I shifted my attention to researching money and then the wars, and then you know, you find 9/11 and JFK, and then you're off and running, and just go to the news shows and read. Depending on how deep you want to go, I go all the way back to the definitive evidence that we have had other great resets. Because what our opponents want to do is they want a great reset us, and that's Klaus Schwab, where we're going to live in pods, own nothing, eat bugs, live in 15-minute zones for the environment, and we're supposed to be happy with that as they reset us again. So there have been previous great resets on this planet. And we can see from the architecture, the megalithic architecture, and this is all documented here, we had previous advanced civilizations who were working with 2,000-ton building blocks. We have only had the capacity for a crane to lift that weight in, I tell my students, since you were born, high school students, we've only had the capacity to lift that stuff, and it certainly can't quarry it, lift it, transport it, and then construct with it. So something happened. Something happened on Earth to destroy a great civilization. And the last, I don't know, 4 years, I guess, roughly, I've also been looking into what is called Tartaria. I'll pull this article up, and maybe we'll spend the last part talking about that. In the article that I wrote, Ready for Another Game Changer, Tartaria was a global civilization with free energy, healing centers, classic architecture, that our evil 0.01% reset approximately 200 years ago and then claimed as their own. And this involves mud floods, world fairs, Star Force, and more. And the overview of this, you can take a look at the extensive documentation, is that some great civilization in maybe analogous to the Lord of the Rings type of a advanced civilization got taken down by that level of evil. And I'm just giving you resources that I find as a professional historian compelling. The world's fairs, we were told that this occurred all around the world in the most beautiful cities. So I can't show you, but if you go to this article, put in Tartaria, and you're going to see these videos of world's fairs. Omaha, Nebraska, Chicago, St. Louis. And these were the most beautiful architecture. However, our POTUS told us that these were just temporary buildings that they built up in approximately 2 years just to, you know, have a World's Fair and fun, just temporary construction, and then they have to destroy the whole thing after the World's Fair is done. And that was to cover that civilization that somehow got great reset. So we are in a battle. This is life or death. Native Americans tell us that there have been four such great resets. And if you take a look at what we're told of, it gets into crazy things like the Grand Canyon, the Egyptian artifacts, that there were events that melted these buildings, these palaces. There's a lot of interesting evidence. We'll leave it at that for you to explore for yourself. We have another break coming up, and we'll talk about other interesting, game-changing, life-changing history when we come back from the break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the people station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we're back, Carl Herman, filling in for my good friend and colleague, Jim Fetzer. He's off with family, enjoying himself. God bless Jim Fetzer. And our audience members. So we are in this war, and it does require the intellectual integrity and moral courage to stand for the truth. My mentor, Bucky Fuller, said it was a test of integrity, and that this was the final exam whether humanity would be allowed to continue or not. And we're talking about the history that we've been Great Reset before, and I'd strongly prefer not to be Great Reset again. So we're standing for the truth, and that this is AMRF 2.0 World War III, and I'm giving you the tools for you to feel great about withdrawing your consent. I know feeling great is the right way of saying it, but that is the correct position to take. CarlBHerman.blogspot.com. Any of the new shows, just start reading after Jim Fetzer's paragraph summary of the news, for all the documentation that I'm telling you is comprehensively, factually true. And that, of course, I would be willing to engage with anybody about the factual accuracy of the claims. Now, I did tell you that I'm at 95% certainty that the White Hats are in control. We've already won, and what we're seeing is a show. Okay. Well, I do provide evidence for that. And the best evidence that I found is a 49-minute summary of Charlie Freak's epic 7-hour presentation of the facts, which basically look at the Trump World Tour after he had been elected as president, where he stepped in front of the Queen and basically showed that he was in charge of the Queen, and for the European leaders and at the Vatican and in Israel. All I can do is say, look for yourself and see. It looks like that was a capitulation of those governments. And the idea for the White Hats being in charge, if you just go back to the assassination of President Kennedy, which watching JFK's funeral is my first memory as a 3-year-old sitting on my mom's ironing board as her tears fell onto the hot ironing board, turning to steam, watching. And that's my first memory of a black and white TV about 10 feet away and the flag-draped coffin being the horse-drawn Cassian, I think is the word for that he is being, his coffin was carried by. And I felt a tremendous sadness that I knew just wasn't my mom. And I also knew that was something I have had. I don't know if they're spiritual experiences or whatever, experiences whereby I would get a glimpse on what I was doing here. And maybe some of you too have had experiences that if an ordinary person had them, then, you know, of course you'd have to pay attention to those. When I was 8 years old, I'm giving you background for why I think the White Hats are in charge. And we do get into a spiritual type of possible perspective. And as a professional academic, you can tell by the tone of my voice, I'm trying to be very careful and factual here. But I do think that we can demonstrate previous great resets. Okay, so the evil has been here a long time. How far back? Well, the asteroid belt appears to be a blown up planet, the evidence of which is the southern half of Mars that got blasted and the atmosphere mostly blown away. And then you go into those long head type of creatures that were Egyptian royalty and South American royalty. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, did those long heads have anything to do with the previous planet? It might. So the story gets wild and goes deep into history. Hey, we have a caller. Crow. All right. Let's go, Mitch. I'm coordinating with Mitchell. So we either have a caller or a question in the chat. I'll just keep talking until something else happens. Here.
Well, I didn't know you were on the air when I called. I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go. Hey, what would you like to talk about, brother?
Yeah, well, that's great. I didn't know you were on the air and broadcasting at this time. I just calling to, I still am not ready to continue to try to do the market show because I've got my data feeds all on pause and I'm not staying really live up like I was. So I'm just kind of taking a break and see what happens. And we'll hopefully get through all of this and get straightened back out one of these days.
Now, for being straightened back out, are you saying that back to the promise of the American nation?
Well, what I'm saying is I'm just not trading in the market, and I really just went solid as far as the market goes and kind of gathering up my beans to see what's going to happen with all this. You know, we've got so many things going on in the world that who knows what the outcome is going to be. So I'm taking a break from all of that and see it. We'll wait it out, okay? I guess the best.
Now, with the market, yes, it is crazy is the way to do it. And I think that there is great wisdom in being able to assess that we do need to see where it goes and what happens because there are so many factors in play. I mean, I have no professional certainty of what's going to happen. I would think, and I am, I think that one of the most compelling points of interest is the imminent possible collapse of the dollar. I would say, I'm trying to just bridge this to what most people know. I think it's already happened that the dollar has collapsed and that we're going to find out about it and that the market for debt securities is going to totally collapse. And the value of the dollar is going to go way down. That'll be a short-term event only occurring on paper. We have superior mechanics ready to roll out, but it is going to get very scary. And the value of solid assets, I'll just constrict it to gold and silver, will be going way up. What do you see about that area of the collapse of the debt market, Crow? And the increase in value of gold and silver.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I've always been a believer that silver is never going to be worthless, and of course, gold will never be worthless. And there's always a possibility the dollar could get worthless. Remember the currency during Hitler's regime in Germany and all what happened there. All of the Deutschmarks, you know, previously were basically worthless. So, yeah, we're just going through a transition period. What the outcome is, we're in a gray area here with the economic policies that are going on in Washington. They're not fortune tellers. They just do from history what, you know, worked in the past. And I'm not sure that things that worked in the past will always work in the future.
And it is a good question of who did those policies work for? I would make the argument that the parasites have been in charge, and what they're doing today, which is to virtue signal their care for the general public, has always been a mask for policies that will benefit the parasites and to accrue the resource control to fewer and fewer hands. To where we look at the rhetoric of Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset that our masters would prefer now is that they really want ordinary people to own nothing, live in pods, have a 15-minute safe zone for the environment, of course, and that they're be ordered to take a knee and to be injected and mask up whenever they're ordered to do so, and that we're really viewed as this slave-type species to dominate. Now, Crow, does that go too far for you, or do you see the dichotomy between the wannabe masters and the human resources as stark as I do?
No, I don't disagree with your outlook. I think that's on target. You know, I think that we are viewed as the worker bees. You know, you've got a queen bee and she rules the roost, and the rest of the bees are simply at her mercy and, you know, supplying, going off and gathering the pollen to bring it back. So, yeah, I just think that we're going through a transition period in the entire history of the, not only America, but the world, where we're really, in my opinion, we're just in uncharted waters. I mean, that's the way I see it. This is uncharted.
That's an important point. And I like it for two areas, Crow. One is that if people, as a professional scholar, so we get into areas of paradox. And as a scholar, and anywhere that people go for to get some level of expertise, the paradox is that the more that you learn, the more you see that the terrain tells you that you really don't know very much. And for what Crow is saying, I think that there's great power for people to get comfort in the crazy times, to know that we don't know much of what we're looking at, and it could go many different ways. And the analogy of the bees. So would you say, Crow, that the analogies of the queen bee and the worker bee is being kind of a harmonious, good aspect for nature is apt, or what we have on Earth is more like a hostile takeover of a parasite?
Well, I agree. Here's what happened back in the really, I think the Lyndon B. Johnson era expanded welfare and gave people a false hope of, hey, well, you know, we got the richest country in the world, and all you guys that have been working, you may have been working too much and too long and too hard. So take it easy. Don't put out that effort anymore. And you look back at really from the time Johnson took over for Kennedy and the assassination, really America had, as far as the population gaining a foothold on independence from government programs, has gone away. Now look at the number of industries that are dependent upon government support or what have you. The shipbuilding industry, the aircraft, all of the military-industrial complex completely dependent on the government subsidies. I mean, that they get no money from nowhere else anymore.
That is another key point. Crow, yes, yes. So the masters want to consolidate and control everything. They want to destroy the natural synergy and creativity of we the people so that they can control everything. Now, my next question for you, Patriot brother, is it Crow? I see that with this COVID shots is that our masters want to have this great reset to include a great culling, and that they want to be able to shift over to an autotechnocratic type of a worker bee, but that most of us just doing work with our hands, we're not going to be needed for the level of consolidation that our masters want, and that these Georgia Guidestones pretty much hit what our masters wanted, is that the destruction of the population down to maybe about 500 million worker bees. What do you see with that?
Well, I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot there, and a lot definitely to explore and look at, because you have the elite class in the world, and not only America, but in Europe as well, and as well as Russia, and as well as China. You have a very few elitists at the top. The Chinese people, with all of their 1.2 billion people or whatever it is now, you're still being ruled by a very thin minority of the people. The rest are worker bees. And America, our industrial complex, has looked at China's model and says, hey, that's working pretty darn good for them. Look over there. So let's just slowly ease America into that type of a situation. And that's where we're on that slippery slope. We really are, in my opinion. And, you know, they put a little Crisco on it every once in a while, and you slip a little further. But I don't know. I hope for the best for our country. But right now, when you've got a president that really is, I don't want to go into the political side of it that much, but, you know, I think American public lost faith in the electoral process in the last election. If the elections in the future are operated the same way, there's no hope for our country.
Absolutely none, brother. So, yes, I want to go with what you said of what we can demonstrate. And I appreciate your thinking and your thinking, because you're really demonstrating the type of rational mind that we want from Americans and people from around the world. And that you can start by looking at, okay, so if we go across, if an American business goes across the border into Mexico, then you can get away with $1 to $2 an hour. Okay. So the factories are going to go there, and they must, in order to remain competitive. If you want to go to China or India, you go to India, all right, well, then you can get more than an hour for a dollar. And if you go to China, I think the current rate is somewhere 2 to 4 hours per dollar. And there's no way that businesses can stay competitive without having this race to the bottom. In the 1990 World Summit for Children with heads of state, we had pre-existing promises from the heads of state that they would invest 0.7% of their gross national income for the technical advancements to end poverty, having clean water, access to land, food, basic medical care, to get these former colonial nations off of still what they were operating as plantations under the puppet governments and under the international corporations that were really monopolizing all of the good land for cash crops. But we had, you know, promises from these heads of state. Oh, yeah, we'll fix this. We'll be good. And then they didn't do it. So you are confident, Crow, that we do have this race to the bottom for the cheapest possible labor? Is that a fair statement?
Well, I think that, yeah, that certainly is part of it. You're in a period of time where, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, and through the 70s, the workers kind of gained through unionizing and what have you, and they gained benefits and all of that. And these corporate heads, they could care less about that. They don't care how you lay down at night and sleep, or if you've got food on your table. All they're worried about is where's my bonus this year? What's my income? That's and I don't know how to correct that.
They're parasites, brother. And I think the correction is only going to come from catching the people at the top for lying and fraud. And part of what my contribution is as, just an economics teacher is to quantify the damages. And as a history teacher, and part of what I make the argument for is that we can quantify that we do live in an empire. This is not limited government under our constitution, but that they annually have these policies to control resources, both natural and human, that kill millions, harm billions, and loot trillions. And that the answer is going to be having enough of a demand to arrest these people at the top. And an arrest is just the legal term, the legal tool that you apply to stop an apparent crime in progress. So would it be fair to say, Crow, that you're seeing apparent crimes in progress for fraud?
Oh, there's no doubt about it that we got a criminal activity not only at the corporate level, but certainly in the government level as well. So when you've got that, both of those going down the same road, it's like two speeding cars going down a two-lane road. And if there's another vehicle coming from the other direction, it's sooner or later you're going to have an implosion or an accident there. So, and if you go back through history and from the Great Depression of 1929, and then we had our snafus in the 60s and all of that, the market will always correct itself, and societies will readjust and really, really kind of correct himself. You get to a point of where everybody expects too much from too little. Now, I mean, if you go out and to cut wood for your fireplace, you can take a cross-cut saw and it will, you got to have two people working it. Or you got a chainsaw and you do it quick and load it up and go. So we've automated ourselves to a point of where we're continually really making the human being to a degree obsolete. And that's what their goal is to, is the government going to be able to sustain all of the people that become unemployed by making their jobs automated and computerized? Who's going to feed those people? I mean, that's the big thing. With the world population, I think it's, 5 billion people or something like that. I may be way off base there. I haven't looked lately. But I don't know. I'm going to rephrase it and say this. We're going through a transitional period, I believe, that most people would not have ever even thought would happen in their lifetime. The outcome of it is, I still think, in my opinion, is in question.
And those are strong points. And I love what you said, Crow, about the people at the top. So I'm going to go with you that they do engage in criminal fraud, and that when the government itself is criminal, that is going to put pressure on the major corporations to step in line. And I think that we can connect this to economic hitman John Perkins' documentations and this top-down pyramid structure, is that the government is going to want to control the major corporations. And yes, as you're saying, absolutely, there was promise with the American labor movement and all of the rhetorics in the 50s saying that, oh, yeah, we will be able to use our technology and get down to 20-hour work weeks. But they don't care. That is just virtue signaling. And that the possibility for we the people, if we can have the breakthrough to accomplish the arrest of the people at the top, I am with you, Brother Crow, that we can have balance if we just have a shift to integrity and the truth and a connection for the best environment for all of us, rather than this parasitical monopolization of information and data to accrue more and more power at the top. I think that our masters really do. I mean, all of us like this idea of doing more with less. And my mentor, Buckminster Fuller, that was one of his primary areas, that technology should free humanity, but all of humanity, not just the parasites at the top, who would give some of the scraps off the table to the rest of us. So we will get a balance if we are able to be free, but man, it's exciting and scary times. Any last things that you want to say, Brother Crow?
Well, I just think that this is the time when you really have to stand up to your beliefs, stand up to your faith, and do your part. And if we do that as America, I mean, I don't think America's going away. I mean, I just think that we're going through a transitional period, that we've got to regain our confidence in our politicians and our form of government. And once we do that, then, you know, we can move forward. Until that happens, I just see this continual deterioration to a point of where people just say, okay, let's turn this thing around. Let's give some new people a chance. Let's get rid of these old heads. Send them home. Get them out of there. Bring in some new ideas and new concepts and new innovations, and let's move forward. I mean, I don't want to see an end to civilization. That's not a goal anyway. What you want to do is improve civilization and have it move forward, you know. We're at the break, I think, huh?
Yes.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...